Now is it on? Okay, I didn't get it far. Okay, welcome everyone. And Klahalia. My name is Gail Hakola, and you know we have our wonderful grandfather here with us too, with his drum. So, I do have a relative with me this morning, my great nephew, Jeff Hakola. Jeff is his dad. Kyle is his name. I knew I'd do that. Thank you for your patience, Kyle. So next I would like to read from the Daily Word for Sunday, April 15th. This is some kind of magic day, right? It's about prosperity. Fancy that. I am open to divine ideas. Divine ideas are like seeds of hope planted in my heart. When they are properly nurtured and tended, they produce the manifestations in my life that represent abundance and prosperity to my own mind and soul. I might be surprised at some of the ideas that pop into my mind and might not see how they could possibly come about. Being open to divine ideas involves a large degree of surrender to the source of those ideas within me. My prosperity is not dependent on my limited mortal mind. I make the choice for prosperity, open my mind to divine ideas, and allow them to guide me to next steps and new possibilities. From 3 John 1, 2, Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health, just as it is well with your soul. Please remain seated while we sing Surely the Presence. standing, and you can give each other a hug or a handshake.
Lots of medical and dental appointments in the
because I won't be here, and she's not here. So next week you get to do this all again with whoever else it's platform. But usually every year we do Volunteer of the Year, and because we switched so many people on the board this year, nobody really had the job. So we talked about it and decided that we would name our beautiful gardener, Susan Finley, as Volunteer of the Year. I also had to wait till we had our birthday breakfast yesterday to snap this picture. She doesn't know I have it. So I'm going to leave this under here. Would you guys remind each other next week?
And then also, I have the
sign-up sheet for the coffee rest stop. It's Memorial Day weekend. I know you guys won't be here. We're sharing it with the Senior Center in Winlock, so we only have to do Saturday. So see me if you want to work on Saturday the 26th.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Did we postpone our cleaning time?
The fifth Sunday of the month, we have one this month, so we're going to do our spring cleaning. So you can all be prepared to stay a little longer on the 28th.
Do we have a list of
29?
Will we have a list of what needs done, and we can sign up? And
it's going to be top to bottom, one clean sweep. It only takes us about an hour usually.
Because we don't have to wash windows. We don't have to do that.
Only if you want to.
If you want to.
But they look good. We just haven't done the pressure, so.
They look good.
So, okay. So you can think about what you would like to do on the fifth Sunday, and sign up for that. So I think that finishes announcements. I thank you, Danny, for greeting us downstairs. Will you please join in our unity statement, which you will find in your program? We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. Please stand for our song of joy, which you'll find on page 153. Count your blessings.
Making sure that I got out of the house with the reading,
that I forgot my food. There you have it. No food today. This is taken in part from an essay that I wrote for my human relations class. And it's about self-confidence and self-esteem. And citations for part of this come from Eric Barker, who's a motivational speaker and head trainer for the Navy SEALs. The other citation is the book itself, Human Relations, and I believe it's Jacob Dubron, but it could be a little off on his first name. So here we go. Nature of self-esteem. A useful distinction is that our self-concept refers to what we think about ourselves, and self-esteem is what we feel about ourselves. You can tell the greatness of a man by what makes him angry, spoken by Abraham Lincoln. Development of self-esteem. Self-esteem starts with a variety of early life experiences. People who were encouraged to feel good about themselves develop high self-esteem. Childhood experiences that lead to healthy self-esteem include the following: being praised, being listened to, being spoken to respectfully, getting attention and hugs, experiencing success in sports or school. In contrast, childhood experiences that lead to low self-esteem include the following: being harshly criticized, being yelled at or beaten, being ignored, ridiculed, or teased, being expected to be perfect all the time, experiencing failures in sports or school, and often being given messages that failed experiences, such as losing a game, getting a poor grade, and so forth, were failures on one's whole self. A widespread explanation of self-esteem development is that compliments, praise, and hugs alone build self-esteem. Although some seriously question this perspective, they believe that self-esteem results from accomplishing worthwhile activities and feeling proud. Although early life experiences have the major impact on the development of self-esteem, experiences in adult life also affect self-esteem. And here's the name. I have the citation here, the book Human Relations by Andrew J. Dubrin. Sorry about that. The Apostle Paul said, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love." Create a loving atmosphere around you. Perform random acts of kindness. Being aware of personal strength. Attaining legitimate accomplishments. Why do some people redouble their efforts when the rest of us head for the door? Deep purpose and meaning. The best way to deal with stress, which can lower self-esteem, is to see problems as challenges and not threats. We all have a tendency to scare ourselves with our thoughts. Hope and despair can be self-fulfilling prophecies. Just because you don't know how to do something does not mean you can't do it. Newsflash, you can't do it alone. God has helped others do it. He will also help us. Enhancing self-esteem and staying motivated. Keep that voice in your head that says, "I am here to do this. I knew it was going to be difficult. However, God will shine his light on our lives. God has helped others do it. He will also help us. What keeps us motivated when we are under stress and intense pressure and nothing seems to be going right? Celebrate and be grateful. Small wins are a big deal. Thank God for them each day. Taking a moment to thank God for each little thing is far more motivating than thinking you need to win the Nobel Peace Prize or the Academy Award before you allow yourself to be happy. God grants us lots of little good things that beat the infrequent great things when it comes to how good we feel self-confidence. Talk and socialize frequently with people who boost your self-esteem. Model the behavior of people with high self-esteem. The people who can raise your self-esteem are usually people with high self-esteem themselves. Choose your models of self-esteem from people you know personally. Give help and get help. First ask God. Then accept help from whoever he sends to your path to guide the way. Lone wolves don't make it in the pack. Let go, let God. The benefits of getting help are obvious, but by giving help, we increase the feeling of meaning in our lives. Therefore, self-esteem. How do we develop and strengthen self-confidence? Strengthening self-confidence often facilitates success. A lack of authentic confidence holds most people from attaining their goals. People who are more successful are not necessarily better equipped. The psalmists say, "When darkness overtakes the righteous, light will come bursting in." Today is a new day. Make it a joyous day, a new moment. The only moment we ever live is right now. It is a choice how we choose to live it. We can improve the quality of our lives in a way that supports us. It is doable. It is a choice. Last but not least, find a way to laugh. Humor provides a powerful buffer against stress and fear. God is granting us the strength to break out of a rigid mindset. Showing God gratitude for the good he has granted us is the most powerful happiness-boosting activity there is. It can make us a better person. It makes life better for everyone around us. Happiness is more contagious than unhappiness. God has been trying to send you some gifts for 30 days, but you can't receive them because you can't open your cosmic inbox. It seems you've lost your key. Fortunately, I have it right here for you. Click on it to unlock your abundance inbox, and I will resume delivery services as soon as possible. Thank you.
Interesting how our things weave together so well with prosperity and abundance, self-esteem. Thank you, Sonia. Mm-hmm. Our meditation song comes next, for which you may remain seated, and you'll find that on page 357, Miracles Are Happening.
My heart is now open, my heart.
will join me in the affirmations, which you'll find in your program. I am the love of God in expression. I am truly thankful for all the good I already experience. I am growing more prosperous with every day. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am always growing and expanding into the fulfillment of my potential. And I am at peace, knowing everything I need comes to me in perfect time. Today would be our traditional Lord's Prayer. That half sheet piece of paper you will also find in the front, the very front of your songbook. If you would return it there for next Sunday, that would be wonderful. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from error. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
inspiring word for us. So please welcome Grandfather.
Clahalia.
Clahalia.
Once again, a joy to be with you. This morning, I have hanging before you something that the last time I hung that there for you to see was almost 11 years ago, in July of 2007. I wonder how many were here that Sunday. I'd say one hand. I figured that if most of you weren't, and it was about time to display it again. So I'm going to have to move down in front of it. I'll just take this with me so that you can all hear me. This is what is called the Sundance Medicine Wheel. If we go back to our affirmation a while ago where we say we believe in the principles, values, and teachings of Jesus and others. And so this is our Indian, one of our Indian Bibles. I call it an Indian Bible. All the teachings for life are in this. It's this, what we call the Sundance Medicine Wheel. There are many medicine wheels. This is the Sundance Medicine Wheel, there's the Red Road, Black Road Medicine Wheels, the Ancient Mayan Wheel, the Inca Wheel, the Cherokee Wheel, and many others. This is the one I usually teach from. And I remember a number of years ago, I was confronted by a fundamentalist minister, preacher, and he came to see me personally for one reason. You need to repent, he said to me. And I said, oh, for what? He said, you're saying that that's a Bible, that Sundance Medicine Wheel is a Bible. I said, yes, it is. Oh, that is very sacrilegious of you to use that word. I said, well, you know what the word Bible actually is derived from, the Greek word biblos, off biblos, meaning the book. And all the spiritual people, so teachers of Jesus and others, they have their sacred writings, and that's their sacred book, or their biblos, their Bible. And I said, are a preacher, and you believe in what you call the Christian Bible? Yes. I said, why don't you read it? Oh, I know that Bible through and through. I know everything that's in it. I said, I don't think you do. I said, do you have a Bible handy? Well, it turned out he really did. He ended up, he had a Bible in his living room on the coffee table. He had a Bible in the dining room, in the center of the dining room table. He had a Bible in his bedroom on the bureau by his bed. He had a Bible in the bathroom. He had a Bible in his car. He never had to carry a Bible because no matter where he went, there was a Bible. I said, you got one in your car? And he said, yeah, no, go get it. Bring it in here. I want you to read something that I don't think you've ever seen in your Bible. He brought in, I said, now turn to the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation. Chapter 4. And begin reading. And so he opened it up and he started reading chapter 4, verse 1. And John the Revelator was saying, I was in heaven. I had a vision. I was in heaven. And I saw a door open. I looked in, and he who sat on the throne, and I stopped him when he read that. I said, who is he who sat on the throne? He looked at me like I did with a dumb, stupid person. Well, that's God. You ought to know that. I said, yes, that's right. That was God. He that sat on the throne is God. Now, read on the rest of that verse. And he read on. And he who sat on the throne was like a jasper stone. And I had my, I pointed to this, and I said, and this right here in the center of this wheel, that's when we do it with stones. Now, on this one here, I have the four-leggeds, the wingeds, and the swimmers, the animal people. But for everywhere where you see one of these, there is a green person, a tree, or a person of the plant family. And it's also a stone, a mineral family. But in the center, there's one stone. And I said, in the center of that wheel, you said that John said that he who sat on the throne was like a jasper stone? Well, in our medicine realm, that's a jasper stone. Now I looked at him and I said, now if you will ask an Indian who knows the teachings of this wheel, what does that represent? And he'll tell you, that represents the Great Spirit on the sacred altar. Another way of saying God on the throne. The Great Spirit on the sacred altar. And I had him keep on reading, and he read, and immediately around the throne, according to what version you read, King James Version, there were seven torches burning, and the Revised Standard, there were seven lamps burning. And out of the 54 different versions of the, or 47 different versions of the New Testament that I read, they all have either torches, lamps, or something like that, but every single one, without a single exception, say, and the torches, the lamps, are the seven spirits of God. Oh, and here we have owl, cougar, hawk, cow, wolf, bear, and raven. The Indian teachings, those are the seven spirit messengers of the Great Spirit. It's the same thing, just said in a different way. Well, the outer wheel, these are totem powers that are, this outer wheel is all human. It's the human part of the wheel. And you, every one of you, entered this wheel when you were born at one point or the other. And if you would tell me your birthday, I would immediately be able to tell you all about where you, the powers that flow most naturally through you, your gifts, your talents, and your weaknesses. I know. If I just meet you for the very first time, you tell me that, I know a whole lot about you, except we have never really got acquainted with each other yet. And it almost always works right out to exact. And you came in here. But what is interesting also in studying these powers, they all go on the pattern of the, which word I want to use?
The zodiac,
thank you. The same dates as the zodiac. But the thing that is different here, that's really interesting, is that the zodiac looks at you and your powers and your weaknesses through the teachings of the stars. And as Indians, we do it through the Earth Mother. But if you were to take and look at what the zodiac says from the stars about you, you'll find that the Earth Mother is telling the same thing, the very same thing. And some people, in fact, a preacher looked at me when I was making that statement, and he started questioning me, and I said, well, have you read your Bible? Don't you remember that David the psalmist said, the heavens declare the glory of God, comma, and the earth shows forth his handiwork. Well, God teaches us through both the stars and the Earth Mother. And so these are the human powers, your own individual powers, but also everything is human. The nations, the cultures, the religions, the teachings of Jesus and others. But this inner wheel, these are the totem powers, Al Cougar, Hawkeye, Wolf, or Raven, are the totem powers of the Great Spirit, or God's totem powers. Now, when I did this about almost 11 years ago, on that Sunday morning, they ended up, the number of the people wanted more of the teachings, and we ended up maybe meeting once a week every Wednesday night for almost two or three years. Once a week, given to going deeper into these teachings. So those they remember, and I guess, how old are you? You're the only one who was here during that time. Oh, there's another one. Yeah, there's another one. remember these? Oh, Bridget, you were part of that. It's welcome back home to Centralia Unity, Bridget. Good to see you again. And so when I give these teachings, totem powers of the Great Spirit, Al Cougar, Hawkeye, Wolf, Bear, and Raven, then I show those teachings in the writings of Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle in his 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he lists the gifts and ministries of the Spirit. And by the time I gave the Indian teachings for these, I had actually covered all of Paul the Apostle's teachings on the gifts and ministries of the Spirit. But then, went further. How many have ever studied the chakras, the seven chakras of Hinduism? Well, by the time I go through these, those are the same teachings as the base chakra, the root chakra of Hinduism, on through to Kayot, the heart chakra, and Raven, the crown chakra, and they all fall in perfect order, right with the chakras of Hinduism. Now, how many have ever studied ancient Kabbalism of Judaism, mystical Kabbalism of Judaism? And you'll find that the ancient mysticism of Judaism, the Kabbalists, they had what they call the Tree of Life, with its 10 sephira, singular, sephiro, plural. And if you take the four basic sephira of their Tree of Life, they're the same teachings of the Hindu chakras, the base chakra, and the same as Al, and that leaves you six, and they follow in perfect order right on through to the king, the crown chakra, the king in Judaism. Isn't it interesting, teaching of Jesus and others, and all of a sudden we've got not only my medicine wheel there, it is in the Bible. By the time he got through, the animals in the four directions, all of the rest of it, it was all right there in his Bible, but he didn't see it. Then I said, now you've read this portion from the book of Revelation, the Christian part of the Bible. Now let's turn that part of the Bible. It's not the Christian part. It existed before Christianity was born. The Old Testament. The Jews would have called it the Kabbalah. You'll find, I said, turn to that old prophet Ezekiel and start reading from chapter 1. And 750 years before John, Ezekiel wrote his prophecy, his letter, and there was the very same wheel. He had the same four animals that John had and all, and they all resonate right with these and this wheel. Ezekiel added one feature, though, to it in his vision that John didn't give us. And Ezekiel spoke of the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Now, some of you remember that part of Ezekiel's prophecy. And what is interesting here is that this wheel, Sundance Medicine Wheel, was a part of our spiritual journey as Indian people long, long, millennia before any white man ever came here with the Bible, given us the Bible teachings. But isn't God gracious? And God is so gracious that God shares the vision with all of us. No matter what our nationality, whatever ends up being our culture, our religion, we just all hear God talking differently. You've heard me say that before many times. And we hear God differently. So what I find that this Indian Bible, when I look at it, not just with the teachings I was given as an Indian, but I look at it through my Christian eyes, and I look through the Hindu eyes, and one thing I went, and the Buddhist eyes, and the Muslim eyes, and all the others, and see the similarity in the teachings. Now, at looking at my spiritual journey, or you looking at your spiritual journey, you're not just looking at it just through your Christian eyes, the Bible over. I'm not looking at it just through my Indian eyes in this book, but I get to look through it. Why don't we cut off all the windows in this building except for one little pane of glass, that one little window? Don't we have a whole lot more light in here now than we had? I would be able to see that house over there, but I wouldn't be able to see something, those trees over there. The more windows I get to look through, the more I get to see. The greater my vision. And so as I look through the Christian eyes, windows, spiritual eyes, spiritual windows, and Indian eyes, and Buddhist eyes, and Jewish eyes, and Hindu eyes, and I look at the similarities. How many times have I told this over the last 11 years almost? Look for the similarities, not for our differences. When we look at our differences and begin to talk about the differences between us, then what we do is we create violence. I'm the one that knows the best. I've got the truth. You're in error. No, that just creates violence. But we start looking for our similarities. Maybe we will finally discover what God is really trying to tell us. And so I wanted to share the Indian Bible, the Medicine Wheel, with you this morning. I will ask this, ask Christians, if, I know none of you have done this, but let's just imagine, if you had read the Bible clear through from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation once every year since you first were able to read, and now you're 99 years of age, and you've been reading it through once every year for all those years, do you think you will ever have learned all of the lessons that are in that Bible? No way. No way. There are tens of thousands of lessons there. Well, now I'll just say something that might be shocking to you, that this wheel right here has as many tens of thousands of lessons in it as in that big Bible that you have. It's amazing. I have had people, now when I taught that this wheel here, it was for about 2 or 3 years, but I had people that I worked, groups that I worked with, giving teachings from this wheel once a week for 14 years and still was giving new teachings from it. It's an amazing gift from the Creator to us. So I thought it would be good this morning to once again share the wheel. And I want to do something a little bit different. I'm sure I've said some things that are going to throw some questions. I'm going to open up for some open forum for just a few minutes. If you have a question, raise your hand of anything I've said. I've been a failure. I can't stir questions in you. I can't challenge you and make you come up. You know, one of the problems that I have with American adults, you've lost the child that's within you. I go to a public school here, one public school I was in recently. There were three classes of fourth graders, about 20 in each class, so there were about 60, and we're all in this one session where I was giving them some teachings. When I got through, I said, "Don't form any questions." Every single one of those 60 hands went in the air. Those kids all had questions. But I work with adults, and this is what happened here is very, very similar. That's where it is always. American adults have lost the child within them. You've lost the questions. You're no longer curious about life. I'm going to catch you in this second prison. Thank you. But what happens is that I believe, this is a right assumption, but I believe that American adults have just come to accept life as it is. Well, that's the way it's going to be. I can't do anything about it. And so we no longer ask any questions. We just accept whatever life is thrown at us. And consequently, we lack in our spiritual growth, because you're not going to have spiritual growth until you start asking questions. They start looking for answers. Okay, Brizzy, did I thought you saw a hand over here also?
Well, I disagree with you, number one. Most American adults have lost a childhood. Not all of us have.
I will agree with you. That was a good challenge, and you're right on. No, I would agree, because there are some of us still asking questions, yes. And you're right. I said that wrong. When I said all, you're correct. But probably most, because when I meet with group after group of adults, I get the same response. No questions asked. I've got two more hands over here, and now this is getting good. Because what's going to happen now is worth more than anything I said previously in my talk. Let's see. Over here. Where was the hand here?
Why do you have the same animal spirits on the inner part of the wheel and the outer part of the wheel? You have the same different animal. I mean, same animals.
Oh, okay, the animals in the wheel. Both John in the Revelation and Ezekiel, but the one in the north has the lion, and we have cougar. But isn't cougar our North American mountain lion? And over here we have buffalo. This is a pathway. How many of you would like to really know more about God? Ah, well, remember Paul the Apostle in his letter to the Romans? He said everything to be known about God, hey, can be known. How? Through the things that are made. The things God has created. And if you are the wheel, and you are the wheel, and the wheel is you, so where is God? In some heaven out there? No. At the sacred altar within you, this is where God dwells. So how can I experience the God within me? And these are four pathways. But this is the gate to the pathway. And these are the different levels, and there are four different kinds of pathways to experience the God within you. So here you have to be able to this gate. Here. It's buffalo, back to the animals in the outer circle. Well, in John and Ezekiel's vision, it's the ox. Well, you might say, but buffalo, that's not the ox. When you ever go to Fred Meyer's and buy beefalo? They can breed each other and have, and give birth. It's all the same gender. That's the same thing. Over there, it's eagle. And eagle is also in both John and Ezekiel's vision. This one down here, which is different, is bear. Where in John and Ezekiel's vision is the face of a man. But if I had time to tell you of Indian legends, one after the other, there are many bear legends, you soon begin to realize I'm talking about man. If you ever skinned out a bear, it looks just like a human being hanging there, skinned out. And so these are the same one. Basically, as in those visions, but those are the gateways to these four pathways that you can follow to experience the God within you. And now, I wanted to ask, did I answer your question or not? Or did you have more?
Well, the question I was asking was, why is there like a, I think it's an owl in the outer circle and an owl in the inner circle? So it's like you have duplicates. Now, why is that?
Oh, the duplicates. Ah, that's another good question. He's spotting here that I have cougar and cougar, there's hawk and hawk, there's bear and bear. And what about the similarity? Well, this is the human part of the bill, and this is our total part, this is God's total part. Oh, one thing I might answer before I answer that best that question is that you might be saying, but you said I am the wheel and the wheel is me, and now you're saying those are God totem cards. Well, maybe I can put it this way. these are your lower powers, our lower powers, these are our higher powers. Because you cannot tell me when you made a boo-boo, well, I can't help it, I'm only human, you know. You're not only human. You belong to the kingdom of man, but as a Christian, you belong to the kingdom of God. You're a child of God, the Bible says. And so, back to your question now, the duplicate, I would say, doesn't Genesis and the creation story say, God said, let us make man in our image. So this is the image of God. Here are our samples of where we were made in the image of God. And we have those God powers within us. We are the children of God. If I'm a child, if I'm a child of a human, then I'm a human. If I'm a child of God, I'm a God. Ooh, that'll get me in trouble. A lot of preachers saying that. But it's true. And so, and we get to you again. I saw another hand over here somewhere. Yes, here and then there and then there. And I don't want to take up the whole morning. If we go for hours like this.
I wanted to, it's referred to as Jesus as being the lion of the tribe of Judah. Is the same symbolism carried through from the cougar and the,
yes,
these other symbols?
You are right on. I love you for that. Thank you. Because you're doing what I've been doing, seeing these similarities. And you begin to look at both the Indian teachings and the Bible teachings and seeing those strong similarities. They are great. There's another hand on this side. Okay, well, I'm going to get back to this one over here and then come over here and then get to Bridget. And then we're going to have to end because we'll be carrying overtime here.
Okay. Originally, the Native American community, how did they accept missionaries? What was, when missionaries tried to convert them to Christianity, how did the Native American community accept, or how did they deal with the missionaries?
How did the Native American community deal with or accept the missionaries? Well, on the one hand, on the other hand. On the one hand, a few of them, a very small minority of the Indian people, accepted the missionaries' teachings and became Christians. But the majority of them would have accepted if the missionary had some brains. At least, maybe I wouldn't say that, if he had a little more wisdom. If he'd have shut his mouth up and opened his ears and listened to the Indian people long enough to find out what they really believed, asking them questions, that he may have been able to do this thing of showing the similarity in the teachings and bring them in. But what the missionaries did, they came here, and they said, you heathen, pagan, evil Indians, you're going to have to give up all of your heathen, pagan, Indian teachings and ways, or you're going to go to hell. And the Indian said, to hell with the missionary. And so, in answer to your question, how do we relate with the missionaries? A few accepted the teaching, but the most didn't. But I believe the missionary would have won them if he just listened to the teacher and said, oh, that teaching, that's, we say that this way in our Christianity, and accepted them for who they were, they would have become, almost all Indians would have become Christians. And I think that sometimes Christian preachers today still are making the mistake of being, they think they know it all, and they do all the talking, and don't listen. When you come to me with an opinion that's different from mine, instead of me saying, no, that's not it, this is the way it is, why don't I sit and listen to you? Maybe I'll find a new way of seeing something that I already believe in, and I have greater width, depth, and depth and height to my own spiritual journey. There was one question over here, and then to Bridget, and then we're going to have to end.
Right.
Yeah. Is it here?
I'm here. Well, Grandfather, I would like to ask you a question.
Yes.
You stated earlier in your talk about that you could tell.
Did I what?
You could tell. I was born in 1942. Now, what's your evaluation for me?
Give me your month and day of your birth.
December 30th, 1942.
December 30th. I don't worry about 1942. So it's December 30th. And now, I know I could go through all of you, and that would be here for a couple hours. I'm going to give you one example. Later on, you can come to me and ask the question when we're through with the service. December 30th. December 22nd through January 19th. The first moon of the north. You are a snow goose person. That's your animal totem. You're mineral totem is the crystal, and your plant totem is the beech tree with the birch bark, the birch tree, and you have the tendency to be a communicator. Were you a school teacher? Did you write books? If some way or another you had the power of communication, and one of the things, whatever avenue you chose, whether it's the arts, the sciences, or whatever, a lot of guys would say, oh, that's just getting me too much, I burned out, good, you didn't. You just keep going and going and going and going. The snow goose can fly some 5,000 miles from the Arctic to down the coast, down the boats, down the far end, and where hawk will fly high, and hawk people fly high in what they're doing. If I had a hawk person on my committee, and we were just disputing over an issue, then the hawk person suddenly would come up with them. Two or three sentences, and we solved the whole thing. They came from the heights, and we made up, and they had the knowledge, the insight from good eyesight. But then the next meeting, they may have forgotten all that, but the snow goose person still carried on. Now, remember last week when so-and-so said such and such? You keep going, like the flashlight, the battery, this just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. You stick with it. You hang with it. That's you. Now, many other things I can tell you about your medicine power, they would come from all three of these. For example, communication, the crystal. Crystals are in our watches. Crystals in our radio. Crystals in our television. Crystals in radar. Even have the old crystal hall gazers talking, communicating. And so, in the birch tree, you've got the birch bark letters in the Indian museums where they would write their letters on the birch bark. All your totem parts speak of being the potential of being a communicator. And if you haven't been using it, you've been hiding your powers within you.
No, I've been using it all my life, but I had a cabinet working with wood.
Yeah. My dream. Well, now you communicate through that. Yes, very good. And I can go on and on. I'm going to do just one more, and then we'll have to close because I'm overdoing my time. Bridget, you had a question.
Well, my question is, and you don't have to answer it, it's for everyone. How many times have you laughed or smiled since you woke up this morning? You don't have to answer it. So I'm going to tell a little joke, okay? So there was this little boy, it was after church, they had a meeting downstairs, and they went downstairs, and the first sign was said was on a big bowl of oranges. It says, take only one, Jesus is watching. And then as you went down, you had the potato salad and the rest of the stuff. But at the end, he went straight to the end. When he got there, he was just stuffing himself with cookies. And the one churchgoer said, little boy, leave some for us. I mean, you've taken like 8 or 10. And he says, it's okay. Jesus is only watching the oranges.
Let us go through our silence. Breathe deep, relax. Let go of everything that's happened to you so far this morning. Let go of all the problems that you may face and the things you need to do this afternoon. Just be as the one reader read to us. The only thing we have is the now. Relax in the now. Sense that the Creator, the Great Spirit, the Christ Spirit is whispering within you. the teachings of one or more of the different religions and cultures of the world. Remember the words that came to your mouth a little while ago, and in unity we believe in the principles, values, and teachings of Jesus and others. Purpose in your heart to become more involved and listen to God's voice so the teachings, values, and principles of others begin to expect the Christ Spirit within you to blossom in the bud of your life into the fullness of the bloom and the glory of who you are. Rejoice. Close God.
Thank you so much, Grandfather. That has us thinking again about Jesus and others.
Uh-oh.
It is time for our offering. There will be two containers coming around. The silver one is for supporting our church, the copper one for our outreach programs. Our offering prayer is located inside your program. Let's say that together as we hold our offering in our hands. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I give and all that I receive. The morning offering. I did a paper on Sibelius. I think I got a B+ or something. So anyway, It's time to say our blessing of thanks. Thank you, Joyce, for the lovely playing of that music. We bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us, multiplied abundantly, and so it is. Our healing prayer, if you would like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, just call out their name or hold them quietly in your hearts. If you would please remember to keep Jill in your prayers as well. Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. Our prayer of protection you'll find on the wall or on the back of your program. Let's say that together. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. Before we stand for our peace song, I'd like to thank Dee for her music, and Joyce for her music too, and Sonia for the reading, and of course, Grandfather for the inspirational message. Let's stand and circle, please.
Thank you.